Peter Hackett in Washington. Secretary McElroy convinced us even more today of his ability to make firm decisions at the Pentagon. He announced a score of them. For instance, set up a military space agency within 24 hours after congressional authorization, ended the Army's 200-mile missile limit, said the Air Force will fly manned satellites and spaceships. Thus did McElroy end, or at least temper, several severe inter-service conflicts. It's the kind of whirlwind operation, say his associates, that characterized McElroy as a top soap company executive, the kind of decision-making all branches of service hope will put us back on a par with Soviet military might. Peter Hackes, NBC News Pentagon correspondent. NBC Radio brings you service at 30 every hour on the half hour, plus news every hour on the hour. One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 26th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 29, Book 129 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this. More families, far more families, use X-Lax than any other laxative. X-Lax is the preferred laxative for one important reason. X-Lax helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight. Today, many doctors recommend trusted X-Lax for youngsters as well as grown-ups.
That's because X-Lax gives you the relief you want, the gentle way that nature wants, without upset, without embarrassing urgency. When you take chocolated X-Lax at night, it does not disturb your sleep. And X-Lax is so effective that the next morning, you'll be well on your way toward your normal regularity. Seldom, if ever, will you need X-Lax the next day.
Little wonder that of all the laxatives made today, tablet, powder, or liquid, X-Lax is the most popular. Next time, any time that you or any member of your family needs a laxative, make that laxative pleasant-tasting chocolated X-Lax. Introductory size, only 15 cents.
Today, young man in grave danger. It's a cold, wind-whipped, ice-raw February day in Sexicliff, San Francisco. Hazel Barber Murray leaves her new house and hurries 13 doors down to the family home to climb the flight of steps to her brother's studio at the top of the house. But the sound of Paul's typewriter stops her at the door. She waits a moment and has decided to go back down when...
It is not an interruption, madam. Had you to come right in here.
How did you know I was on the stairs?
Extrasensory perception, plus the squeak of the third step from the top. Oh, come on in. Nice fire going.
I'll be tempted to crawl in it.
How's the new house?
Well, suppose we talk about that when I've warmed up. Oh, this is nice, Paul. I've got a million things to talk about, but most of all, Pinky. Have you any idea what he's doing?
In a general way. I was telling Dad this morning, when this is over, keep telling yourself that all things end, it's going to be dinner table anecdote. I find that notion heartening sometimes. Our worst misadventure can become a conversation piece as soon as it's done.
I tried to talk to Pinky last night. He wouldn't say a word about his business.
Too scared, maybe.
Paul, what do you think he's doing?
As a would-be novelist, I can assemble what facts we do have and try to make a connected narrative out of it.
I wish you would.
Oh, by the way, Jack knows more than we do. Pinky consulted him professionally. That's why I'm reasonably sure whatever he's doing is legal. Or if it wasn't, it will be.
Well, that's heartening.
Now, let's see. We knew he was trying to get antiques out of China, that he'd invested a considerable sum with Charlie Loy.
He started with plenty. Dan thinks $100,000. And then kept putting in more, trying to get the original investment back.
Of course, the project was utterly unrealistic. Obviously, you can't get antique furniture out of a communist country without both good luck and lively collusion on the part of officials. Dad tells me he noticed Pinky looking up jade in the encyclopedia.
Oh? Mm-hmm.
And I hear Pinky asked Jack about the tariff on jewelry.
Oh.
Add another item. A city editor friend of mine tells me there was an AP or UP story out of Hong Kong to the effect that the ancient Ho Choi Museum had sold a basket full of imperial jade some years ago, and the communist government is still trying to find it. Now, many famous pieces of royal jade were brought to this country in 1934, put on display at the World's Fair in Chicago, and were left here for safekeeping. They're still here. It's my guess that Pinky's man, Charlie Loy, spent a small fortune in China trying the impossible. to transship furniture or Ming objet d'art, found he couldn't do it, and then encountered somebody who had some imperial jade for sale and decided to invest in that.
But who are these Chinese pinkies meeting or trying to avoid?
Well, among them there must be a disillusioned communist or two, an opportunist or two, possibly a communist agent or two.
Oh.
If Beatty's man has succeeded in buying imperial jade through some legitimate channel, the communists would like to have it back. And until it's safely disposed of and the tariff paid, I guess the pinky is much safer not talking about it, even to you and me.
Then it's really dangerous.
Honey, there are no moral restraints between Chinese communists and what they want.
But that's in China.
That is in China. But if Charlie Loy managed to get out with a box full of imperial jade and they want it back, I can't think of anything that would keep them from trying to get it. Until, of course, it's secured here in a museum or a vault. Well, there at least is a novelist's view of the situation.
I'm not cold anymore.
Now, that reminds me of a story. Speaking of anecdotes, during the last war on a bridge over the Rhine, I encountered a young American sentry who told me that he'd been cold, hungry, and frightened, but never had... Excuse me. Yes?
Oh, this is Jack. Are you alone?
Not right now.
Looking for Pinky.
Can't help you.
I had a date with him here in my office 3 hours ago. He didn't show up. He started phoning around. Consider Martin seems to have something on his mind that he can't say over the phone. Have you time to run over there and see what he thinks might be wrong?
Right now.
Oh, thanks.
I'll get right on it. Sorry, Hazel.
I'm thrown out. All right, but what about the young sentry?
The sentry?
He started to tell me an anecdote.
Oh, that'll have to wait. Stay here if you like, Hazel, but I'll be on my way.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Stand back, friend. We're going to blast.
You're going to blast what?
Swift has found a new way to make all sweet margarine.
Oh?
And we're going to announce it with a blast of dynamite. Boom! And then we say, folks, this is dynamite.
Oh, my.
New All Sweet is now made with a natural flavor formula for the most delicate natural flavor ever in the margarine.
That's it, hmm? New All Sweet is now made with the natural flavor formula?
Yeah.
Why not just say that? New All Sweet is now made with the natural flavor formula for the most delicate natural flavor ever in a margarine.
It won't work.
Clifford, you don't have to blast women with dynamite. Talk quietly to them.
Well.
Just say, new All Sweet is now made with the natural flavor formula for the most delicate natural flavor ever.
Oh.
And right now, Swift will pay them 15 cents to try new All Sweet. Details are on the package at their grocer's.
What'll we do with all this dynamite?
In Consider Martin's room, under the eaves of Joan's house, 5 doors up Seacliff Drive, Paul is sitting beside the old gentleman's bed, concluding...
So, that, as I just told Hazel, is the novelist's guess. Is it close?
I didn't know about the jade part of it, but the rest is near enough. I said to the boy in Paris, Pinky, I said, what is this uncontrollable urge to make a profit? He felt it was the barber blood, an aspect of his nature he can't control.
But before we get
to that... I've said repeatedly, what if your money is gone? There's more where it came from. My early steadfast faith in the capitalist system.
Consider.
When most so-called liberals were looking for some new easy way to legislate riches...
Consider.
I invested in American industry. And here I am, able to climb the neon sign, when I'm well enough, or indulge whenever I wish in the spirit of the dance.
Consider. Jack said he thought there was something you felt you couldn't tell him over the phone.
When?
A few minutes ago when he called you from the office.
Oh, no. Joan was up here. I didn't want to gossip.
Well, have you any idea where Pinky might be?
Well, yes, I have.
All right, where? Jack's worried.
Paul, so am I. Now, this is strictly entre nous. There's a lovely little Chinese girl named Alice Lee Ho Choi, descendant of an ancient family, the Museum Ho Choi. Escaped China with their lives when the commies came in. Pinky met her in Paris, became bemused. I understand she's in San Francisco with her grandparents. She's a beautiful but solemn girl. And Pinky, I am sorry to say, plays chess with her uncles in order to be near her. Except when I was most ill, he did drop in once or twice when I was ill.
Well, he certainly has been tight-lipped about this.
Miss Alice Lee Ho Choi does not dance, drink, smoke, or laugh. She writes delicate, solemn verses. In short, she's a lovely egghead from a New England woman's college. Between Miss Ho Choi and his yearning to make a profit, Pinky is all but lost to those who love him most. Oh, I hate to say it. I feel like a traitor, but this is true.
Thank you, C.C. And how are you feeling?
Oh, better, I guess. But for the first time in my life, it has taken me until the first week in February to begin to recover from New Year's Eve.
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Millions more take Bromo Quinine.
Right. More people have taken more Bromo Quinine for more complete relief than any other cold tablet ever sold. For only Bromo Quinine gives you wonder-working quinine combined with five other medicines and health fortified with vitamin C. Get more complete relief from stopped-up nose, aching muscles, feverishness, irregularity, and headache. Get Bromo Quinine brand cold tablets.
You seem to take cream for people who can't brush their teeth after every meal.
Later in the evening, Hazel drops in at Paul's studio.
May I come in?
Sure. Glad to see you, Hazel.
Dan isn't home yet, and I frankly came over here to get warm.
Yes, sit down.
No, you seem busy. But I did want to hear that anecdote about the sentry. Remember? You were on a bridge over the Rhine.
Oh, yes. Well, the boy said he nearly froze out there on sentry duty until he realized he was hungry. He then became so hungry he forgot he was cold. Whereupon, a bullet fired from the opposite bank came so close it creased his helmet. Then he was simply scared. And the point is, he found he couldn't be cold, hungry, or scared all at once. Big, basic things like that have to be handled one at a time.
That's very amusing. The moral being, our troubles are relative?
Good. Sum it up with that.
Paul, Pinky just came in, and I didn't want to tell him in front of Father, but he has lipstick on his collar and on his cheek.
Oh?
He says he's had dinner in Chinatown, but he also must have been somewhere else besides.
Yes, looks like it.
Apparently, he really is in danger from all sides.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware, directed by Carlton E. Morse, and features J. Anthony Smythe, Bernice Berwin, Paige Gilman, Russell Forson, and Mary Adams. In Chapter 30, Book 129, A Fortune for Pinky, Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California. Madeline Carroll stars next in The Affairs of Dr. Gentry as our 2 hours of drama in the afternoon continues over most of these stations.